Good morning, Cross Point. It's great to be together today, regardless of how the weather is or how many people are being affected by COVID or whatever issues you might have. It's just good to be in the house of God together. Whether you're worshiping in person today or you're worshiping online, it's good to be in God's house and to know that God loves us. You know, as the worship team were singing that song about, you know, God running after us, I started thinking about the prodigal son who had come to the absolute end of himself and all his resources. And what did he do? He went back to Father's house saying, you know, at least my father will treat me like one of his servants. So I'm going back to Father's house. And what did the father do? He came running toward his son who had come back. Why? Because he loved him and he's his son. And you know, God treats us like that. He runs toward us with his love. He comes, he initiates his love toward us. He calls us into that warm embrace of child and father. And he loves us so deeply. And he calls us into friendship. He calls us into fellowship. And he calls us into service. I wanted to share with you a scripture today that means a lot to me. Because you know what? I have been doing ministry as a pastor and as a missionary for over 30 years now. And there have been many times where I did not feel qualified. I did not feel competent to do what God was calling me to do. And yet time and time again, I have felt that God was enabling me to do what's next. Time and again, I have just sensed that even though I might have words on a page ready for Sunday morning, I would tell my wife many a time, these are just words on a page. If God doesn't show up, that's all it is. God has to show up and meet us where that, and he does, and he meets us at that place where we say, here I am, Lord. What I have, I give to you. What I have, I give to you. My gifts, the talent you've given me, I give to you. So I want to sort of look together at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read this text with you today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Hear God's word. Paul asks the question, he begins with a question. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent or sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of a letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. You know, Pastor Dave started off this year talking about our theme verse, our mission verse for the year. Can you remember where that is found, anybody? Romans chapter 1, verse 5. We are to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of God's name among all the nations. It's our theme for this. It's our mission verse. We are to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of God's name among all nations. But you know, if we are depending on Pastor Dave, Pastor Solomon, Pastor Key, and the few leaders we have, if we're depending on them to do this mission, to accomplish this mission, if we're depending on them to bring up the obedience of faith for God's name, for God's sake, among all nations, even in the Rockford area, just in the Rockford area and surrounding area, it's not going to happen. Because they can't do it alone. It takes all of us. I'm going to remove this mask. I can't breathe deeply enough. I hope you don't mind. You can't get my germs from there anyway, can you? No? Good. So they cannot do this by themselves. They need us. We need us. We need all of us to be all in to make this happen. And I hope you have taken this seriously, that this is our call. This is our clarion call to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of God's name among all nations. But if you are like me, you can make all kinds of excuses why we can't serve God effectively. What are some of those excuses? I've just listed four that I could think of. I'm not very gifted, like Moses, who Pastor Dave said his excuse was, I'm not very good at speeching. I'm not a public speaker, so I'm not gifted. What did God say, right, as an answer to Moses? Who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? Didn't I make your mouth? Well, I'm going to be with your mouth, so don't worry about it, all right? I'm not very gifted. Here's another one. I'm not very wise. I won't know what to say or do. I'm too afraid, like Caleb, who is threshing his wheat in a wine press, to be hidden from the enemy. Rather than going out and being bold, he was hiding because he was afraid. Or, again, like Moses, I'm not needed. Here am I, Lord. Send my brother Aaron. You know, that may be just a tip of the iceberg, so to speak. There are many reasons why followers of Jesus don't see themselves as capable of serving the Lord well. But in this text we have read in 2 Corinthians 3, this text paints a very different picture of us as servants of Jesus, followers of Jesus. This passage reminds us that we have confidence toward God and competence or sufficiency to serve God. We are sufficient to be called ministers of the new covenant. That's what Paul calls us, calls all of us, ministers of the new covenant. The writer of Hebrews tells us that because of our faith in Jesus as our great high priest, we can draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We come boldly before the throne of grace, that picture of the throne, the high point, the capital point of the grace of God, the place where God is. We come boldly before that throne to receive help and grace in our time of need. Paul reminds us that since we have come into this relationship with the Father through faith in Jesus, the Son, we are very bold. Bold. Paul reminds us again, we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, Daddy. In the first century Jewish context, when a child was adopted into a family, the child could never use that term, Abba, could never use that term until the adoption was complete. Once the adoption was complete, then the child could come to the father and say, Abba, Abba, you're my daddy now. And this text tells us that we can come, we receive this spirit of adoption as sons and daughters of God, and now we can come before God and say, Abba, Daddy. and bring our requests there. And because of this very confident relationship we have with God the Father, through God the Son, we are confident in our standing before God. We still express this or live by this reverent fear of God, but at the same time, we are so aware and more aware of the amazing love of God. And we express that love back to the Father. Mind, soul, emotions, will, body, all of who we are, we express that love to God back to Him because we are in this confident relationship with the Father. We don't hide in the shadows of fear or self-doubt. We don't hide in the shadows of unforgiven, undealt with sin. We don't hide in the shadow of a lack of understanding of who we are. We don't hide in the shadow of questions about God, because God has been revealed to us in creation, in nature, in the written word of God, and most clearly in the person and work of Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah. So we know God, and we know that He loves us dearly, and He expresses His love and mercy and grace toward us all the time. And so we are very confident in this walk we have with God. This is how Paul describes this change from what we were before we came into this faith relationship with Jesus, and then what we are now. In case you want to read this later, it's found in Ephesians chapter 2. And he says, Paul writes, "You were in the past, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you walked. You were following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature, children of wrath." That's bad news. That's bad news. But then there are two little words in that passage in Ephesians 2. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us who are in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is the gift of God, not a result of our works. Amen? For by grace, the grace of God, we are saved. No longer objects of wrath, now children of the Father. No more objects of God's judgment against sin, but having received mercy and grace and being made right with the Father, so that now we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We have been made right or righteous, and we have been made holy, and we are learning to live that way. In other words, learning to live like Jesus, learning to appropriate and live out the Christ life as we follow Him. And this is the basis for our confident relationship with the Father. You know what I call this? I call this gospel. Good news. This is good news, isn't it? There is bad news. We're all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we all deserve God's judgment. But the good news, that's the bad news. The good news side of that is, but God, being rich in mercy and grace, took care of the sin problem that we could never take care of, and brought us into the fold, brought us into His family, and made us His dear children. And then, He calls us to join Him in mission. He calls us to live out our identity as ministers of the new covenant. We are competent in our service for the Father through our relationship with Jesus, the Son. This is what Paul says in that text I just read a little while ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency, our competence, is from God, who made us sufficient or competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You know that word minister, ministers of new covenant? That is the same word from which we get our English word deacon. Did you know that you are a deacon? Say, wait, I haven't been elected as a deacon yet. Just a minute. No, I know there are elected or official deacons, but every one of us is a minister of the new covenant. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then he has made you sufficient to be a minister of the new covenant. And he has given us so many things to enable us to carry that out. For example, he's given us his word to share. God has reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry and message of reconciliation, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's given us his word to share. He's given us his Spirit to empower us. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would empower us to be his witnesses in Acts 1:8. He's given us his mandate to obey. Jesus commissioned all of his disciples, to make disciples of all nations. So he's given us his word to share, his Spirit to empower us, his mandate to obey. He's given us his promises to claim. This is one of my favorite verses in all of the New Testament. It comes from 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has grant to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he granted to us in his precious and very great promises, so that through them you and I may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. What has God withheld from us? Nothing. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness by his divine power. He's equipped us, in other words, with everything that we need. What do we need in addition to that? Nothing. In fact, the psalmist writes this: For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Isn't that a wonderful verse to remember? No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed is the person. Blessed are the people. Blessed is the assembly of believers who trust in God. Trust in that God is going to work in us and God is going to work through us because we are confident in our relationship with him. That has been secured by the completed work of Christ on the cross, in the empty tomb, and in the resurrection. So now we are confident before God, and we are competent or sufficient for the ministry that God has called us to. And then this verse from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is another one of my favorites. Ephesians 2:10 says this: For we are his, that is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's craftwork, God's creation, God's work, God's handiwork, and he has created us to get into the flow of the good works that he has called us to. Now, do those good works save us? No, they don't. But those good works are a manifestation or a demonstration of the fact that we are already in grace. We are already enjoying the grace of God. We are already experiencing the love of the Father. And as a result of all that confidence we have toward God, the fact that the place that separates us from God has been opened up through the sacrifice made by Jesus, and now we can come right into that holiest place, not the one in Jerusalem, the one that only the high priest can come into, the one that is the very presence of God, that the temple picture, the temple portrayed, and we can come right before the Father and cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. In fact, we learned this phrase when we lived in Africa. We lived in Nigeria for 8 years, and people often there call God Papa. So I often begin my prayers with Papa God. Papa God, listen, this is my request for today. Papa God, we need you. Papa God, we need you to work. We need you to rescue us. We need you to transform us. We need you to encourage us. We need you to challenge us. Papa God, do a new thing among us. Rend the heavens, pour down your spirit, and move us to be the people that you have called us to be. Because in the body of Christ, we can't afford to have people who say, you know what, this whole thing of making disciples among all nations, this whole thing of bringing about the obedience of faith for his name's sake among all the nations, that is not just for the superstars. That's not just for pastors and elders. That's for all of us to be actively engaging people in the good news around us, to be identifying our gifts, the gifts that God has given us, the gift or gifts or a gift mix, what I call a gift mix that God has given us, and say, here I am, God, where do you want me to serve? I want to serve somewhere. I want to do what you've called me to. Because I am, and you all are, ministers of the new covenant. And this is the message of reconciliation. And God has given us that message and that ministry of reconciliation. And the message, the heart of the message is this: God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. And God not only calls us his kids, God not only calls us saints, but God calls us his ministers. So if somebody asks you, how many ministers do they have over there at Cross Point? You can say, oh, somewhere around 175 to 200, something like that. They say, what? Yeah, yeah, because we're all ministers. Right? We have a pastor. We have a pastor shepherd. In fact, we have more than one. But we are all ministers. So it's our delight, not only responsibility, but it is our delight to find out, Lord, what is it you've gifted me with? What is it you've called me to? Now, help me to get after that, Lord. I don't want to be sitting on the sideline. I want to get after what it is you've called me to. And I'm not saying that this is how we get right with God, do more work, and then we'll be right with God. No. But the works, the good works we do, are the good works he lined up before us to do, to walk in them. I love that phrase from Ephesians 2:10, that we might walk in them, that we might find those good works that God has called us to and walk in those things, whatever that is for you. Whatever it is that God has gifted you with and called you to. Now I know from experience for many years now that many folks don't serve God with all their giftedness because they have felt downtrodden, They have felt beaten down. They have bad experiences in their childhood or with their family or in the church even. And because of those experiences, they doubt themselves and don't feel that they could ever be competent or sufficient to serve God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you are a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you and I have been made competent to serve God. If you need healing from those wounds, from those bruises in your soul, perhaps you have a splinter in your soul and you need healing, get that healing. Come on. Get well. Talk to Pastor Dave or Pastor Solomon or go get counsel from a good counselor. Come and deal with that pain that keeps you back from making yourself available to serve. There are no excuses. Right? There are no excuses. So I just want to lead us in a word of prayer. Whether you're at home, watching online, listening online, or you're right here today, I just invite you to join me in a time of prayer and dedication of ourselves in this new year. All right? Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this confidence we have with you because you have made us confident, and we approach the throne of grace boldly, confidently. We thank you for that. Lord, as we come into this new year, 2021, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be full of anticipation of your work in us and consecration of ourselves to you to accomplish what you want to accomplish for us, in us, and through us in this new year, 2021. Here we are, Lord. We consecrate ourselves to you, mind, emotions, and will, body, soul, and spirit. We are yours, Lord. Lead us, direct us, anoint our service, our ministry, and Lord, may you receive the glory. May people see the good works that we do and glorify our Father in heaven. For these things we pray in the matchless and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.